speaking of golf, the experts are trying to figure out what happened over there at Valderrama, over in Spain, to our Ryder Cup team. Tiger Woods and Davis Love, the third, is he, or is he the fourth?
Third.
The third. Winners of the Masters and the PGA were able to win only 1.5 points out of a potential 12 between them. What happened? One theory is that when these young pros got over in Spain at this most prestigious event, they did not play within themselves. They did not play their own game. Something happened. Maybe it's psychological or emotional, to throw them off center. Tiger Woods calls it golf. He bottom lines it, he says it's golf. Of course, this leads us to the point that we were trying to make last week as we started to get into the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Now, I said to you, as we started to get into the book of Jude, now I may have a different perspective on this thing. I sometimes spend 10 or 20 hours a week studying various commentaries and studying. I even go back very often to the original language, the Greek language that this was written in, to try to get a feeling for it. And I get very enthusiastic about it. I hope you share my enthusiasm. Do you? Huh? Are you oh-hum or aha? I went to a meeting with IBM at the Breakers in Palm Beach one time, and we had a speaker, and he looked at us, he said, "Are you oh-hum people or aha people?" Well, I'm unfortunately an aha person. Now, this is going to be our text for leadership development for the fall of 1997 here. And we started to get into it. And you should get even more enthusiastic, okay? That's the whole idea here. It's our text for spiritual leadership this fall. Now, last week, the first distinctive of leadership, the point that we were making, was that the first distinctive of leadership, biblical leadership, servant leadership, is centeredness. You remember? Is centeredness, okay? Jude addresses them and us, those people that were reading this originally 2,000 years ago, and to us today because it is Scripture. It is sacred Scripture. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, today, it is as relevant as it was back then, 2,000 years ago, if we make the bridge from that culture to ours. And that's my job, is to help you do that. Okay, so he's addressing them and us in verse 1 here. He says, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ. And we developed that, hopefully, effectively last week. The leader has come to peace with the questions of identity, survival, and meaning. He is centered. And that's where he works out of. It's that centeredness. Today, we come to the second distinctive of leadership. From this centeredness, we reach out to others. That's what a leader does. A leader reaches out to others. So verse 2 will be our focus today. He says, I'll repeat verse 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. He identifies himself initially as a servant leader. I'm a servant. And I follow my master who was a servant. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, he's centered, And then he says in verse 2, which will be our focus today, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. That word abundance, translated there in the English, in the older translation, it says multiplied. It's a very interesting word in the original language. In the original language, it's the word plethuno. If you spoke Koine Greek 2,000 years ago, you would have said plethuno, which means multiply it. So I thought what we'd do today is kind of play around with this little verse here. Three thoughts. Mercy, peace, and love be yours, and multiply it. Play with it. Get it out there. Think of our golf tournament. Hundreds of people roaming all over the course. Guy called me. He says, do you have any more rooms for any more corporate sponsors? And I said, well, if we will line them all the way up down the fairway. Put your sign right out there. We've got plenty of room. Okay. All right. Where am I here? Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Jude here is talking about core leadership qualities. Let's take them in the reverse order that he gave them to us. Mercy, peace, and love. Let's start with love. As I am loved by God, here's the idea now. As I realize that He loves me, He likes me. Do you remember David Dennis Kinlaw talking about He likes me? You know, I think I'm still 21 years after He saved me. One night, on a Thursday night in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, at a couples Bible class, when I came to know Him, I think I'm still catching up with the idea that God likes me. He likes me. He loves me. I become a friend and a lover to others. As I realize my relationship with Him, I become a friend and a lover to others. I become patient and kind. I hardly notice when others do me wrong. You spend a whole day preparing a proposal for a prospect. You buy him lunch. You're gracious. You buy the lunch because he called you. He asked you to bid on a deal, right? He asked for references. You give him three of your best references. No lies. Totally up front. This is what we will do for you. You start counting the commission already for the fall, right, Floyd? Now, your reward is that the prospect now will not return your phone calls. You are tempted to retaliate and get angry, but you ponder. You play around with this. Wait a minute. I am loved by God. When I was His enemy, a sinner, He died for me. This is powerful. This is powerful stuff. Peace, the one in the middle here. As a leader, I am committed to the welfare of others. I am a peacemaker. Mercy, peace, and love, right? What does it mean to want peace for those whose lives we are touching? Our wives, our children, our business associates, the men at our table. What does it mean to want peace for those people that are in our lives? Shalom, peace. What does it mean? Well, we see our relationships as healthy and whole in Christ. We work actively for helping put the pieces back together again. That's what peace means. You put the pieces back together again. We look for solutions to problems with each other. We work together, not against each other. How do you feel, guys, about all this name-calling going on in the NFL? How do you feel about that? It ought to kind of sadden us as peacemakers, right? It ought to sadden us. And how about men who call themselves Christian leaders constantly criticizing and attacking our political leadership. I personally don't like that. It's not my brand of Christianity. I think my job is to pray for our leaders and to work for solutions. I think we get so polarized because we don't understand the biblical model for leadership. The peacemaker spends time, energy, he listens, he prays, he confronts when he has to. He looks at people basically for what they can be, not for what they are. Now, I have left the last part of Jude's greeting until last, but not the least, possibly the most important, mercy. Mercy is a profound thought, men. It's profound to me. I'm hoping to give some profundity to it to you this morning. God never lets us go. Here's the key thought to mercy. God never lets us go even when we fail Him. Jude is telling us, here's what he's saying this morning in our introduction. Just as God deals with us, we should deal with those around us. We are promise keepers. Isn't this the weekend when all the promise keepers are going to Washington? We are promise keepers. We promise to be there in someone else's future, knowing that we and the other person will change. They may not line up to our expectations. They may even betray us, men. We may have to go down a path organizationally that the other person cannot follow. It can be very painful. Organizational issues are usually the ones that get people the most worked up, because that's the way our minds work. We think that way. The last thing you touch when you're trying to do any kind of renewal or organizational intervention or anything else, the last thing you touch is the structure, because that's where people are. They like their stuff. You may not be able to work together forever. You bring a guy into your business. You teach him everything. He builds his clientele on your overhead. And then as soon as he thinks he can pull it off, he spins out and takes the clients with him. What do you do as a leader? You say to yourself, play Thuno. Let me play around with this a little bit. What do I do? You ponder it. Mercy. I keep my commitments even when that teenager causes me pain. And lastly, above all else, I maintain the relationship. Just as God never lets me go, I never let Him go. I remember when one of my boys came home one night after drinking wine all night. I can say this because he has since straightened out, and I saw him, you know, really going off the track, and I just jumped on him in his bed at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and his friend was... And I just jumped on him and I laid on him and I said, I'm not going to let you go. It takes a thief to know a thief. You know, it scares you when you see your kids do about half of what you did. I'm not going to let you go. And it was not the son that's here today. Okay, in summary, then as we leave verse 2. The biblical leader, the servant leader, is centered. He's called, he's loved by God, and he's kept by Jesus Christ. And he is seeking to make a difference in this world by reaching out to those around him in relationships characterized by love, peace, and mercy, keeping commitments and multiplying it. He's play Thuno with it. He's playing with it. Do you want to be that kind of leader? Is that the kind of man and leader you want to be? We'll stay tuned in. We'll see what else Jude has for us as we proceed this fall through Jude. This little letter at the end of the New Testament here. Okay? Let's have prayer together. Lord, I pray for the grace to understand that I am centered. I've got it made. I am called. I'm loved by God, and I'm kept by God the Father, and I'm kept by Jesus Christ. Help me meditate today on that. There's nothing else to worry. There's nothing to worry about. I've got it all together. I'm saved. I'm at peace. And Lord, help me reach out to others, even when it's painful, even if I'm betrayed, even if people disappoint me, even if I'm insecure and I'm looking for approval of people. Help me to think about who I am. Help me find my center in you, and then help me reach out with love, peace, and mercy in abundance and multiply it. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.
Appropriate as always. I've had a really tough week, you know, with everything coming at me different, you know, whether it's family, the house, the business. And this morning when I was coming down, I said, Lord, God, I love you, and I know you love me,
yeah.
And that makes me feel pretty good right now.